They tuck it away and run for it inside the five, and he's in for the Lions touchdown.
Barry Sanders turned around a defensive back about three times. Wow.
The guy is trying to tackle him, but he's got his back to Barry because he can't find him.
Here's a touchdown, Lions. Holy mackerel, what a run by Barry Sanders.
Detroit. There'll be a 15-yard penalty on the kickoff, but the play is not reviewable.
Welcome to a special episode 265 of the Rural Lions UK podcast. It's getting drafty. My name is Matthew Turner, alongside Anthony Fitzpatrick and Ashley Soden. How are you doing, boys?
Doing good.
Yeah, doing good. Nervous, anxious, but excited for the week and a bit ahead.
This wasn't a planned episode, but I was itching for it. I couldn't go on after Monday's episode, leaving it like that for over a week and a half. We had to get something else in. And so we are here doing a quick mailbag before myself and Ash take to the skies to land in what I hope is a sunny Midwestern airport on Sunday afternoon. We're going to get straight into the mailbag. Don't need to worry about any of the preamble-y stuff. You've heard it all before. So you know where to follow us. You know where to find us. You know what to do, which really helps us out. If you've got any questions, at us. I'll see it in the live chat. We'll get to it. And we've got some pre-submitted questions too. So, boys, here we go. Junie on our Discord channel, and join our Discord channel. Why don't you do that? Says, if you had to trade up in the draft, what team would it be? Who would it be for? And what would you give to get there? So, have either of you boys thought about the prospect of moving up in this draft? I mean, I already had it in my mock. So, I feel like my question has been adequately put out there. My answer has already been put out there to this question, but what do you guys think? It's a distinct possibility with this front office.
It really is. Like, and my honest answer is you pretty much did what I would have done if I was going to trade up with your mock as well, going up to 12 for Quinion. Obviously, don't know the rough terms off my head, but obviously what you did. Or if not that, if they want to be a bit more conservative with it, maybe going up for with like Pittsburgh, Miami for Jazay Newton, or if Q forms them, and then giving up for maybe one of our sort of day two, day three picks, a couple of them to come up and get a bona fide defensive superstar for us.
Yeah, I'd move up about four or five spots when the defensive talent falls. I don't think you'd have to pay that much really to do it either. Like, you know, we've got the future fourth from Philly next year with Swift. Thank you, Philly. Can use that. Just go up, get one of the... The draft's going to fall to us. Like, there are going to be so many offensive players, but the draft is just going to fall right to us. So I'm quite confident. We'll go up a little bit and we'll get someone who should have gone way earlier.
Any ideas on who that might be? I mean, there's lots of names that always seem to fall in mock drafts who may not. I mean, Newton, I'd be shocked if he actually does. Lartey, I'd be shocked. But, you know, there are players that always seem to fall in particular positions. And I think Cooper DeJean really sticks out to me, because if enough teams do bucket him as a safety, safeties always fall, right? Like, we know this. Branch should have been taken earlier. Kyle Hamilton could have been taken earlier. But generally, safeties don't even really get picked in round one, basically ever. So I think he could legitimately fall, and I'd be happy trading up for him.
Verse would be the faller, because someone will pick Lartey over him. And that's not an insult over. I think he's one of the best edge rushers in this draft. But obviously Dallas Turner will go. And then if Lartey goes after that, there won't be three edges who go before 20, Imo, I don't think. Because I think the corners will fill that slot up to there. So Verse is the one likely to very temptingly slide and be like, yeah, we got to do this now.
If we got Verse, I'd be pretty happy. Because
if the league, if the league lets us get Verse or Newton, the league is stupid. It really is.
Such a complementary skill set to Hutch as well. Like, they work together so well. Anyway, let's move on to the next question. Thanks for that, Junie. Dan Mack, also on a Discord channel, says, or it was more of a statement, but I formed it into a question. Says, do you believe deep down that Jim Harbaugh wishes that Herbert hadn't just signed a contract so he could take JJ McCarthy?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go the other way on this and say no. Basically, I think that he's only taken that deal because Herbert's there and he knew J.J. McCarthy was coming out. If he wanted the Washington job, he probably could have had it. So, you know, Washington doesn't have an incumbent quarterback. And if you really believe in J.J. McCarthy that much, why not pick the destination where you can pick him? So I think he went to the place where he feels like he's got the best chance of winning in the future. And does he wish he had J.J. McCarthy too in a sort of sentimental way? Sure. But he's a winner and he wants to win. And Herbert's one of those guys who's been chronically misused. So, All right. What's that?
No. Yeah, no? Herbert's contract can't be traded out of yet, so.
No, no, it can't. No, there's a lot of dead cap there. Joseph Austin just said, are Verse and Mitchell worth moving up for? I mean, it's a really tough question, isn't it? Because is any player worth moving up for? Well, yes, if the value's there. But is it worth moving up as far as you have to get them? Well, do they fall? I don't know, is the answer. Yeah. I mean, my trade up to 12 was a predictive thing, not what I would do or what I would be happy with. I think in my scenario, I actually give up too much to move up and I'm not happy with it. But I kind of thought we might do that. So, yeah.
Trust me. But well, take it from the very, very biased person versus definitely worth moving up for.
So just quickly going back to the Harbaugh thing again, I'll throw a question in here. Over under on Michigan players drafted by the Chargers, because they have what, about 9 picks? They've got 9 picks at various stages of the draft. So how many players is he going to draft? I think they've got 9. If I remember rightly, with comps and stuff. Yeah.
Correct. Two. So they've got...
What?
Yes.
I think they'll draft 2.
Oh, right. Okay, so they've got 9 picks all the way through the draft, and there's 17 Michigan players in this draft, we all know.
I'm saying... So, you say, since you're saying...
How many? Oh, I'll not do over-under. Guess how many?
Four? And I'll even say it. Corum... Zinter, Junior Colson, the linebacker, and then, you know what? F it. I know it'll upset Eric a bit. Mike Sandstrill as well.
They don't have enough picks to do all of those in the positions they're going to go.
They're at 37. Right, let's just pump the brakes.
69 for Corum.
Sandra Still is not a first-round pick. Let's just stop that right dead and there. He is not a first-round pick. Get the fuck out of here. He is going to be there at 37. They've got 69, so Blake Corum's there at 60. Like, it lines up. I'm with Ash. I reckon 4. I don't think he's going to be able to help himself. Plus, you've got a lot of later day 3 picks. They're not going to care if they're from Michigan. He'll take culture guys in day 3 because he knows them.
I mean, so for me, Junior Colson's probably going to be in that 40-odd range.
Colson's going to be a Packer. I've called it now. DeJuan and Colson will be their first 2 picks.
Stop, I mean, if stop spoiling my clips, Ant. Those are coming out tomorrow.
Oh. Xavier Legetta is their first-round pick.
Oh, I'd be so pleased. I'd be so pleased if they did that. Oh, my God.
If we do it, I will record my reaction, and you're not going to like it. There is. I have my list of players ready to have a tantrum about if we draft them at 29. I'm ready.
Oh God!
Jeremy's in the chat just saying I'm telling Eric on all of you. I love it. And Mike in the chat, I've seen your question. We will get to it, but we're going to rattle on through now. Adostil on our Discord says, I'm pretty sure we double up at a position again in this draft. Do you agree? And what positions do you think they will be? Can you accept offensive line and DB as one position group each? So guard and tackle counts as doubling up, or corner and safety counts as doubling up. So do you think we double up?
Yes.
I think we'll triple up on our line. And there'll be 3.
I can see that, yeah. I can see 2 DBs. I can see 2 wide receivers. I can see 2 a defensive lineman.
1 from day 2, 2 from day 3 for O-line.
I think We double up at each. So I think we go guard and tackle. And I think we don't address center again. I think the guard we have will be guard tackle flexible, and the tackle we get will probably be pure tackle. But we shall see. Just a prediction. I just don't think that... I know that they pay Ragnow, but he's a special guy on his own. I don't think they massively value center in of itself. It's just they have the guy that makes sense to do it. Final question from our Discord is Chromom. There's a lot being made about Holmes's comments about the possibility of trading out of the first round. If that happens, in what scenario are you okay with it? Who has to be off the board to make it okay for you to trade back? Who would you trade up into the first? Who would trade up into the first with us? And how much would you require of them to make trades? So obviously, there's a lot of fundamental parts to that question, but it's all revolving around the same question. When's it okay to trade down? Because I do think he's right. All of those things kind of have to confluence together to make it make sense. Because at 29, if your guys aren't on the board, you don't really want to pick. But if the trade down scenario isn't good enough, you can't do it anyway. Equally, there's some guys on the board you really like, but the offer's just too good. You know, there's all of these things you've got to weigh up. So paint us a picture of the sort of scenarios that you're okay with in terms of trading down.
If Versa and Newton are gone, then I'm fine going back. It's the defensive talent at 29 that I care about. If those two are gone, I'm happy to go back, if need be. As for who, it depends how the draft falls. If you're still at that point and Penix and Nix haven't gone, then you're probably going to be looking at like the Giants or someone who's going to want to sneak back in for them to the end of the first to get the fifth year with them. And of course, if it's coming for a quarterback, you can rinse them for it a little bit. But, you know, like some day two pick, maybe a couple of early day threes, like I'd be happy with. Again, we don't need a draft with 10, 12 picks in it. We need the right few picks. So I don't care if it's a whole haul. If it's just an extra one, fine. Don't really mind. So that's me. No Verse or Newton. I'm happy to go back. And then it'll be into the early to mid-30s. I'm not going any further than that. Because we need good players. We don't need lots of players. We need good players. There's a difference.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to steal a bit from Matt's answers to this because we were discussing it off-air just before, but Dane Brugler's trade down in his 7 mark, I'll be happy with that. I could see that happening if, yeah, Newton's off the board, versus off the board. Obviously, Mitchell's going to be off the board, but I'm putting him in there because he's my top corner. But yeah, if we get to that point where, yeah, it's decision between like Kool-Aid and Adonna Mitchell, Keon Coleman, that kind of thing, where we're just in that tier of talent where moving back 10 spaces isn't really going to do much difference to us, I'll be happy to do it. That's how far usually I go back. I usually go, I think the first I've been back of myself on a mock is Tennessee at 38, just because at that point I was like, still be some people there. But yeah, if someone wants to, let's say, obviously, I said it with Dane Brugler, if Las Vegas wants to come up for Penix or Bo Nix, if New Orleans do, which will be stupid from them if New Orleans do it, but who knows with that front office, maybe be happy to go back if they give us enough and then we can pick up a whoever falls out of that group, like a Keon or Kalen Carson, because I think he is roughly that valued, someone like that, or BB, Frazier, Christian Haynes.
It's just so difficult because I think I'm with Ant in terms of the tantalizing prospect on defense being there is going to be the thing that prevents me from going down. But I think that's too cheap because what if the majority of teams think that Fuanga is a guard? Because there's a lot of chat out there that Talise Fuanga is a guard. Okay, so that's going to make him fall. Well, if he falls to near us, I'd actually want us to go up and grab him. I don't think that will happen, but I think it's a possibility and it's worth talking about. There are, you know, mocks where Newton is the guy that goes first and Murphy is the guy that falls. We've all seen mocks where Newton falls, but sometimes Murphy does. The majority of people have Murphy as DT1. You know, is that going to prevent you going? At the end of the day, if all the players go that should go before us, I don't really want to pick at 29. I don't think the 29th player is particularly good. I mean, you're talking about, I don't know, Zach Frazier, Lamaconkey, that sort of player. And while I'd be happy with any of those players, it's fine to draft there. I think trading down is a good value in terms of who. Oh, it's just so tough, isn't it? I mean, if Carolina want to come up from 33, I think that would be absolutely fine. I'd be happy picking up 101 to do that. 29 for 33 and 101, I think would be really good. And Carolina are really hungry for wide receivers. So they may be inclined to make that trade. I know Arizona have a lot of draft capital, don't they? And they're at 35. So they already have 27, do they?
Yeah,
they do have 27. For 27, 35, 60. So if they trade up from 35, we could get 90 out of that. I think that would be perfectly viable. I'd also be absolutely fine trading down six spots to pick up a pick in next year's draft. I think a lot of it, so we know that Brad Holmes does a lot of homework, just not on this draft, but on the next draft. So when he had a look at players, or I think this was Eric's theory, but when it looked at players that we picked in last year's draft, he knew that there wouldn't be any running backs he wanted to take, and he knew there might not be any linebackers he wanted to take. So he took both high because he believed in those players, but also it seems to fit the class that's here now. How well is he tuned into next year's class? I'm not, but that is going to feed into this discussion as well. So the problem with all of this is that we're working. I mean, I feel behind on this year's class. Talking about next year's class is just insane. But, you know, we're working with incomplete information. That's always the trouble, isn't it? West Michigan 77 on Twitter with a fluffy question for us says, which one of these four would you draft at 29 if they're available? Barry, Calvin, Jared, or Stafford? And given the state of our roster and what impact he had on our team, I think it's Calvin.
I was about to say, yeah. That plus bringing all the stuff in.
I'm sorry, but Barry running behind our O-line is going to get like 10,000 yards in a season. Like, the dude's just going to break stupid. I know Calvin's great in that, but there is no better player to watch than Barry. Like, aesthetically, he is the most pleasing player to ever play the game of football. To see him break a grown man in half is, and like, not even touch him. Like, he does what a D lineman can't do, getting his hands on somebody to some of these guys. Like, it would be Barry every single day of the week for me. And it's nothing against the other three, but, like, man, I just like running backs.
Yeah. I guess if the fundamental part of the question is we don't have Jared Goff on the team at the moment, that's why you have to draft him or someone else, then maybe it's just Jared.
Yeah.
We can have Barry all we want, but then we turn into Michigan of this year.
I just take it as a fluffy question of which one would you personally like? Forget the situation. Who would you just like to draft?
Well, Barry's the obvious answer in any situation where that's the case.
And that felt like what that was the question was, so...
Fair. Okay, I'm with you. D-Man, at Team Randall 1 on Twitter, asks, do you think the Lions draft a kicker?
No, they're just going to sign Jake Bates from the Panthers when the UFL's over and we're sorted.
If they trade back for more picks on day 3, then yeah.
I think they
do it with their current slot.
I'm going to go no. I actually think Ant's right in terms of trading up for the right people, and I don't think we're going to pick much on day 3.
No.
Personally. Cooldown Rat on Twitter asks, can you suggest any draft players that fit Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes' preferred qualities? Fit the Lions culture, love football, college team captain, gritty, tough, game speed, not necessarily 40 time, football intelligence, position flexible, performed at college, etc., etc. There's a lot here to unpack from this question, but sometimes there's just an easy answer. What do you guys think?
Haynes is a team captain, incredibly loyal to his program, every leadership quality you could want from him, positionally versatile, would work in our system. Everything about him, the way he plays football, he loves kicking people's ass, which they want. Like him on the offense, defensively. Just trying to think.
So I have one. What do you think? Because it's technically cheating because we had a top 30 visit with him a couple of days ago. That's how I found out about him. But Nate Lynn, the William and Mary edge, T. team captain for them, loves football, was very productive. I think the 33rd team, as much as we don't like some of their coverage, they highlighted him and his teammate going into week 6 of the college season because they were like the most productive pass rushing duo in the nation by that point. He could be him. And then obviously with you saying, with game speed being included, I have to say him because of the combine performance, Keon plays faster than that 40 time and he's just a beast.
Okay, so I'm not going to put any NC State players in here. I'll stay away from that obvious bias. But you know what? Offensively, I say Haynes. Defensively, I'm going to put Christian Boyd there. The exact epitome of what a Detroit Lions player is. I know they like him. I know they've spoken to him a lot. I know he's been to visit as well. But just in terms of how he plays, like, he's got such quick get off and he plays with such a motor. He's great. I absolutely love him. So those are my two who immediately jump out.
So I'm going to choose a player that I've only seen limited tape on because of who he plays for. And I don't know whether he's a team captain. Frankly, I don't retain that sort of information when it comes to prospects. But it is someone who on the fringes gets mocked to the Lions at 29. We already have a question on him later, so we'll talk about this player more in a minute. But Marshall Nealand, I think, is a gritty player on tape. And he stayed at Western for 4 years when he could have transferred. He was going to transfer out in 2023 and didn't.
Michael's got it. Mason McCormick's a great answer. I will give him that.
That is a great answer, yeah.
I predict McCormick. I think I've said this right now. I predict one of... Because we were talking about Boyd and McCormick and their Shrine Bowl training together with Gerald. I think I said I predict one of those two might very well be here by the time it's said and done. Like, those two were just absolutely beating the 10 bells out of one another. And again, both are exactly what you want.
Nealand wasn't a team captain at Western, but he was at high school. So,
okay.
Does that count?
Yeah, we'll say it counts. Jeremy has ended all of humanity because he's made the worst dad joke of all time. I'll tell it, but it's bad.
Well, Ash is going to love this. He's going to have Ash in hysterics and he's going to think that he's funny.
I love the New Jersey.
Hang on. Can I get the... Where is it? Where's my phone?
Go on quickly.
Quick. I can't. My phone's on charge. It's nearly dead. God damn it!
Right, you can just hold
the mic. The Mike McDaniel gif is up. It's there. It's his disapproving look.
Okay. Well, you don't even know what the joke is yet.
Need to. If it's going to make Ash laugh, I know exactly what it's going to be.
Jeremy says, "What is Dan Campbell's favorite dance?" The gritty.
Oh God. All right, end the stream. Let's just kill the stream.
Many thanks to MileMarker301 for the $20 super chat, which says, for the Detroit drama. Thanks, MileMarker. Appreciate you very, very much, and all your support for the last 12 months has been fantastic. We'll move on. We're about halfway through our mailbag, and we've got Jack Yek on Facebook asking, I really think we would need a wide receiver in the first three picks. Otherwise, I think BPA should be taken like normal. Do you guys agree? Wide receiver on days one or two?
I can see it. There's quite a few guys I like, but at the same time, as we highlighted on the wide receiver show, this guy's going to be on day three with love. So I'm going to steal Ant's possible guy here, but Joshua Cephas. That'd be a great day three pick. But I can see if there's the right person there, like Keon or Ladd or day two, Johnny, Xavier Leggett, who actually gets drafted where he's supposed to. This guy's there, so I can see it in the first three picks.
I don't think so. I think we've got enough hole. I think we've got... There's enough positions of need on the trenches where I think wide receiver is going to be tough. And it depends what happens with that first pick, whether he goes up, down, oodle-ally, I don't know. But I would find... I prefer my day three prospects at wide receiver this year, so... I personally wouldn't.
I think that must be the first appearance of the word oodle-ally on this podcast.
Oodle-ally.
Because I'm thinking of the animated Robin Hood film.
Yeah.
Oh,
Bangerville. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, don't want to get a copyright.
I picked it up from something I've been watching recently and I can't remember what.
Oh, it's a great word. I'm here for it. I should do a language podcast. Anyway, Tom Orton asked a question on Facebook, which is really on the minds and you know, from whatever's happened in the last 24 hours. But he asks, which is your favourite of the three new jerseys? He says, let's go Lions and up the Villa, Ash. But we also have a question from Lorenzo Dawson on this subject as well on YouTube. He says, I'm sure you've addressed this already. We haven't, but we are now. He asks, what was your favourite of the new uniforms? And will you be getting a jersey? And if so, which colour for which player? So pick one, I think. But which is your favourite jersey and what name do you want on it?
Black. Black by a long... In fact, not actually by a long way. I love them all. Black, then white, then blue. Who am I going to get in the black? I would really want a Liam. I really, really would want a Liam.
Did they play Black in Back in Black as the entry music for that jersey?
I believe so, yes.
Well, that's good. Like a dad joke thing, though.
Yeah, I know.
Of course you'd like that.
Yeah, but did you see Ali McCoist rocking out to it before the game last... Yeah, was it last night? That was really cool. Really.
Yeah.
On TNT Sport. Him just rocking out before the game. Oh, it's a great song, this. Anyway. I'm also getting the black. And, I mean, Kirby looks so good, but I know you're going to say that, so I'm going to move on. I want to get... I always go for someone a bit cult. I don't like going too mainstream.
Scott Bailey.
Yeah, number 47.
Not that cult. Please. I don't want to be that cult.
Jack Fox, then.
See, you know, they could have at least used... Like, AC/DC's got Back in Black. That would have been better, and that would have represented Dan. I know he likes Motorhead, but he's MC/DC. Could have used AC/DC. But black and Aleem.
Oh,
I think that's what I'd do.
Bob O'Lan has it. It's Brian Branch. I love that.
That's
yes.
A good one, yeah.
Branch or Laporta?
Yeah. And then with me, I've been saying it for ages. It's Kirby. And it just sold me. I say when he was the one to model the black uniform, I was like, yes, this is a sign from up above. It's Kirby. It's always...
I'm gonna change my mind and be really confident. I'm gonna get a black Christian Haynes jersey when we draft him.
Oh,
there
God.
We go.
I mean, if we do draft him, it's gonna be great because he's been your guy since day one. And I absolutely love, by the way, that Nate Tice on the Athletic Football Show has Christian Haynes in his first round in terms of big board rankings. And ever since he started having him in there, I'm like, you weren't first, my guy. I'm sorry, but my guy's first on this one. It's so satisfying having a friend who's plugged in that you are in, you know their take so well, and then someone just respected in the space parrots that take. I'm not saying that he's parroting your take, because I'm sure he has no idea who we are, but the idea that you know what you're talking about because it's borne out by a guy who does this professionally. Like, that's cool, man. Especially when it's the Athletic, because those guys, they go so much deeper than some of the guys who...
They know their stuff.
Yeah, without trying to do anyone else down, I don't mean to even sound like I am, but like when you hear their rationale for talking about the way they do, it's insane. Hearing Nate Tice talk about why Drake May is his QB1 in this draft is a really interesting conversation. Now, a lot of people won't agree, but you listen to the rationale of why, and it's hard to argue because it's thorough.
You don't do your research. Do your research and make a compelling argument, then you can at least respect it.
Exactly. So many thanks to Brent DeWitt for another $5 super chat. It says, Chargers in the Super Bowl this year or next, Lions will beat them either time. I mean, the Chargers are in full fucking rebuild mode, so they aren't going to get to the Super Bowl anytime soon.
I mean, could you imagine the split loyalty with Wolverines fans there? Like, they're hero, they're the man, and they're going to make him cry like a little child. That'd be hard for them.
Do you think, like, when the Rams got to the Super Bowl, that we'd have any sort of Detroit Chargers fans or whatever it's called.
Not if we're facing them, no. Bloody well, hope not.
Oh man. Big Aries on Twitch asks, question if needed. Who would drive you mad if the Lions drafted them first? And an associated question from Michael Lucci's on Twitter asks at 29, who is your oh my god yes pick, I can live with it pick, and oh my god no pick? So grouping them together, who's your dream, who's your satisfactory pick, and who do you hate?
Goldilocks question.
That's what it is, isn't it? Who's just right?
So this has got to be at 29. So obviously the Goldilocks pick for me, the good one at 29 is Nguyen. Like if the league lets him
really fall... Oh, that feels rich though. No, for me that's maybe like an oh my god yes. No,
yeah, that's what I mean. That would be the one I'd be oh my god. Yeah, that'd be for the top Goldilocks one is like the good one. So Newt would be like an amazing.
All right.
Nair would be Kool-Aid. I like Kool-Aid, but he would just be meh for me. I like him, but
Kool-Aid is exactly where I was going with this. It feels like the right player at the right pick, and it's just fine.
It's fine, and it's nothing against the player because I like the player. No, there's a tier list system here for me. The one I'd hate the most, it's between Chop, Legetta, and Robinson. I would hate them, or Samra still.
By Robinson, you mean Darius?
Darius, yeah, the edges.
Because when
don't want to pick an edge there that's not one of the top three, basically.
When you said Chop and then you said Robinson with a player in the middle, I was like, his name in two.
Sorry, yeah, the edges. Sorry, I didn't actually realize. I would hate Legetta more than everybody. That would really, really sit wrongly with me. I would be outwardly hostile to that. No one else, but that I would despise it.
So I was going about to say, so no one else is about to say, what happens if we draft Xavier Worthy?
I wouldn't actually mind that. That's fine.
He hasn't got the same red flags that Edie Mitchell has.
I don't have the same. I don't have the problems that others have with Worthy. I think Worthy's fine. I like Worthy.
Yeah, I'm also with Worthy. I would have Worthy over AD Mitchell any day.
He's got multiple production. He's got productions over multiple years against good teams, which Xavier Legetta does not. So I'm fine with that. Yeah.
All right, Ash. Who's your guy? Who's your guys on this list?
Guys. So since obviously Newton was taken, I'll say that. Oh my god, yes. Screaming, shouting, jumping up and down. If he somehow gets there, which we know. I was actually going to say Verse. I was going to say Quinion, but let's say Verse. Just because we know Quinion's got an idea. So yeah, Verse, because just him plays next to Hutch and it's just a home of bias. But I can live with it. Let's say, because obviously Kool-Aid's been taken as well. You know, and I'm going to say this, but it's because obviously, as me and Matt had this discussion, I prefer some other guys, but Ladd McConkey, it's not the X receiver I wanted, but it could work. I can live with it. But, oh my god, no. Honestly, I'm trying to think. I just don't know for that. Oh my god, no.
Peyton Wilson.
You know what?
That'd be a double whammy, a triple whammy for you.
That would be a punch, and yeah, that'd be a punch in the stomach moment. But that's the thing, it could work. Like as we said last, it was on the college show. I was cutting up last night. We might need linebacker in the future if things don't go to plan. So maybe live with Wilson as much as it pains to say me. I honestly don't know.
We'll swing back round to you if you want. Yeah. So I'll give mine. My oh my god, yes, is Latu. I know the injury risks are there, but he's so flipping good. Like, just watch 5 minutes of tape on him. He looks like Hutch. He just does. Maybe he's not quite the freak of an athlete that Hutch is, but he's not far away from it. The people who are trying to say that he's not an athletic guy really don't know what they're talking about, because what they mean by that is he's not a supreme athlete on the level that the top of the he's not in the 1% like Hutch is, but he's in the top 10% of athletic NFL players.
The thing is, he's in the top 1% of guys who have technique who trump guy who's who have athleticism. Like, screw him. He's so much better than Chop Robinson. Like, he
is not
worlds
even funny.
Worlds apart. Worlds apart. Because his technique is there. If like, I don't even care about his injury at 29. If you fall that late, that just becomes a complete non-entity at that point. Because he shouldn't be there. These guys, the Robinsons, the Chops and Dariuses of the world, can't hold a candle up to Liatu Latu. Screw the athleticism. It's the technique. And he's got better technique than anybody else in this draft. By a long way.
My I'm okay with it pick is Zach Frazier. He's a good player for the Lions. He's slightly overdrafted, but because I think he's a fit, I'm okay with him. My oh my god no pick, and I just want it to be Chop just because I've been on that train since day one, but it's too cheap. I'm going to go for a player I like and is just overdrafted at this position. Someone I actually mocked to us at 29 earlier in the cycle before I watched more and saw more. Ennis Rakestraw. Like the player. Think he would fit the Lions, but he's someone who could sneak into late round one conversation who I think is more of a late round two pick and actually may not work out in the NFL. Just, he may not be fast enough.
That's fair. And then I've looked and there's I can't believe I forgot this person because it's someone I've had a big take about. Oh my God, no. Tyler Guyton. Why draft him in the first? Why draft him in the first when you can get Blake Fisher in the third, who is basically the same player and he's younger.
We could get a guy who works at the local Walmart for free who'd probably be better. So, no.
All right.
Exactly.
The thing is, Brad doesn't go after these chops and stuff. Like, he stays well away from these guys. He stays away from the athletic guys who can't produce. So,
I mean,
early he does.
Yes, and even when he takes someone who's a bit more of a project, they at least have some base level of production, like, say, Levi Onwuzurike, who hasn't worked out. But he was reasonably productive, even though he was clearly a project as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Brad's too sensible for stuff like that.
I mean, you say that, but we've never been in the luxury position we are right now.
We've had a 32 pick before. So
No, but I mean as in we're the best team we've been since he took over. And your philosophy, you don't always have to take what you think is a safe pick. You can swing for the fences if you feel comfortable in your team, because if that hits, you're looking at Super Bowl because that person takes you over the top. Whereas if you're awful, you just want to have the safe player so that you can build a foundation on. The foundation's built for us. So do you keep building on the foundation? I think you should. I think you should just keep building the foundation and hope to hit otherwise. But, philosophies change as time goes on because your team changes. And that's part of what's interesting to me is I don't want to shoehorn Brad into saying he's too smart for this. He doesn't do this. Historically, it's not been like that. But we've never been here before. And he's shown a history of what he likes when he's taking over a bad team. But what about when he's drafting for a good one? That might be totally different. So, yeah. We've got lots of new people that I've not seen for some time on YouTube, and I think it's because we've started late, which is good. So we've got a couple of questions, and we've got a few minutes left, so we'll try and get through these last three. Lost Oceans on Twitch says, what else would Ben Johnson have to do to add to his resume to prove he deserves a head coaching job in the NFL? It seems to me he has already checked about every box already. I think there's a fairly
sort out his third quarter performance.
Yeah, coming out the half. Oh my God, yeah.
Sort that and you're gold.
I think he's proven everything he needs to. If he wanted a head coaching job, he'd have one. He doesn't want one enough to move on. And actually, the most successful NFL teams, in my mind, are the teams that find those coordinators who are happy being coordinators, who are very good at their job, who could be a head coach if they wanted to be, but not that they lack ambition, but they're comfortable. And You know, so when Tampa went on their run, they had Todd Bowles as DC. Now he's a good head coach, but he's such a good DC. And, you know, that kind of continued for a few years until they readjusted. But there's other examples of offensive coordinators just staying in place, or defensive coordinators just being 10-year defensive coordinators and being really good at it. And those are the teams which year on year, you know, you can reliably draft those systems because you don't have overhaul. And if Ben Johnson can be that guy for us, I would pay him more than the head coach to just be our OC, because I think it's kind of more important. And if he's settled with his family, I don't even want to think about him trying to prove anything, because he's already done it.
Yeah.
All right. Joseph Austin has our last two questions. He says, what about Marshawn Nyland at 29?
He would be in the I'm okay with it bracket, personally, for me. Like, I know he has had some buzz to go in the late first the past month, month and a half, when people have really hit draft season. So I'd be okay with it. He'd be a good, like, sort of team fit, culture fit and all that. So that's what Brad decides to do. I trust him.
Yeah, a bit the same.
Yeah, I'm exactly there with you. I don't think he'd be massively overdrafted at that position. But I do think he's mildly overdrafted there. I don't think he's a first-round talent, but the difference between 35 and 29 is pretty minor, really. And he might go between those two picks anyway.
Yeah.
Another one from Joseph to finish us off. He asks, is it possible the Lions draft someone not mentioned often, and wouldn't that make sense? Ha ha ha. So, much like the Lions have managed to do the last few times, I mean, Sam LaPorta came at a massive surprise at 34 last year. Yeah. I mean, he was tight end 3 or 4 on most people's boards, which probably put him back end of the second round, top of the third. We took him at the top of the second. It came out of left field. I feel like this question is kind of talking about at 29, but it could be basically anywhere. Let's say the top 2 days. Do you think the Lions have the capacity to take someone that no one is talking about right now?
I mean, they took Roderick on day 2 last year.
That was a bolt out of nowhere.
That was, yeah.
Not a single person saw that coming. Like, not even close. I mean, I think the thing is, I think there's a good chance if something like this happens, it'll be an FCS guy. There is a lot of top-tier FCS talent this year. A lot who could potentially go day 2. So I think yes, because Brad scouts that better than most do. And it could be anybody, because you could, from the Shrine Bowl, we know they've talked to the guys who are going to go around that area. We know he'll have checked the HBCUs as well, because there's day 2 prospects there, specifically at Edge. Sonny is gaining a ton of traction going up here. Like, if you don't feel good taking an Edge at 29, then Sonny could be on day 2 for damn sure, and not a lot of people would see that coming. So yeah. I think, yes, it would be an FCS guy who would shock you all.
Or, because you said, as soon as you said that, someone popped into my head. There's somebody who we know we have had contact with, who is currently seen as a mid to late day 3 person.
Oh, not Stiggers. Quantes.
Stiggers. I could see, there's potential that would not make, like, it wouldn't make sense to us, because obviously he's seen as a big swing and a miss. But as Matt just said, if Brad thinks we can trust Aaron Glenn to get things out of him, I could see him.
And he's had like 12, 30 visits.
He's been working his way up. The last mock drafts I've seen have him just outside the comp pick area at the minute. Like, he's in which round? Like the first batch of comp picks.
Right, sorry.
Okay, yeah.
Like, sorry, the comp picks in 3 to 7. I didn't know which you were talking about. Sorry.
I generally tend to term comp picks as the first lot of them. Like, it's the last lot you do, but he's been in that area. He's been hovering in that area. So it just depends whether someone loves him enough that I would figure it would be a team that would have a lot of draft picks who might do that, and they can afford a luxury. We don't possess many picks in that area.
There's quite a lot of players in this draft who have a very wide berth.
Yeah,
So,
it's
for
going to
example,
be love of a team to do it. Like, you see it every year at the end, in day three, the middle and the end. A lot of guys who were projected far back in day three get picked up there, especially the receiving types.
Well,
But
I mean, so for me, the person that sticks out is someone like Nehemiah Pritchett, who the consensus board is going to have him in the mid-100s, 150, 160. PFF have him at 180. But I could easily see him being picked at the back of day two.
So,
and that would seem to come out of nowhere, I think.
Yeah, so I think Christian Boyd would be a shout there. Like,
yeah,
with the earlier ones, because he's also been in, like, the early hundreds and stuff like that. If they were going to go with the 70 pick, that could be him. As a Sunday Arthur Anderson, that could be another one. So, yeah.
I think Tip Ryman could go much higher. I think he could go a lot
That's
higher.
Shout, yeah.
I mean, the more and more that I've listened to people talk about him, because I haven't seen a huge amount of his tape, the stuff that I always thought was a knock on him is that he wasn't the best blocker. And then the chat I hear about him is that he's the second best blocking tight end in the whole draft. I'm working on secondhand information for him. But if a lot of people think that of him, but with his athleticism, like, he hasn't got a lot of ball production, but that'll come. So, but he is basically a Brock Wright. From what I glean, that's basically him. So,
and we've got one of those.
We do. We paid handsomely for it.
Exactly.
All right, boys, we're coming to the end of the show. Is there anything else in our last show before the draft? And I say last show, I think me and Ash are going to do some things while we're out there, but it's not going to be strictly like this. So, being on our show before the draft, is there anything you guys want to chat about before we go? The silence is deafening. I'm gonna wrap this one up then. Thank you to everyone for all of your questions. You've been absolutely fantastic. It's been a great 12 months for the show. You guys in the live chat have been awesome. This goes to show that if we start later, we could get a lot of a bigger and more varied audience than we used to. So apologies that we always seem to be a bit too early and a bit too long for that. But we're going to try and work on that in the next 12 months. Thank you, you guys. We'll see you in Detroit if you're going. Give us a shout. Get in contact. We'll go and have a beer or some food or something similar. We need to go on a culinary experience of the city. So looking forward to it. We'll be back for some breakdowns during the draft. I'm hoping that the guys will be able to join us for that. And I hope you'll be able to join us for the breakdowns during the draft as well. And we'll see you when it's all said and done, when we're back in the UK, to break down all of the new Lions players. But for now, and Ash, thank you very much for you guys doing this. We'll see you on the other side. Let's go, Lions. One pride.
One pride.
One pride.